Well, let me announce to you a bit of a lighthearted news, because I got some tough stuff. You know, I get this tough stuff. Father Looker sets me up. He does this nice series and preaches about the Holy Spirit and how we connect and relate with God and how He works in us in different ways. And then he goes, I got all these softballs I got to throw up. And then Father Ed, why don't you talk about life? Like, oh, great, that one again. Anyway, today's National Cheeseburger Day, and no, it really is, and they are giving some free cheeseburgers away at some of your favorite local spots today, just so you know. So there is, I want you to be encouraged by that, because sometimes we have to talk about some heavy things, some things that are real serious, and then that is certainly not one of them. But you did notice the scriptures today were fairly direct and pointed, to say the very least. And those are certainly a lot to chew on. However, it's not exactly what I'm talking about, although the gospel reading today talks about being shrewd managers, shrewd investors, shrewd operators. And I think it's important for us as we look ahead in our church life and church ministry, and what I'm going to call us to again this year, is that it's critical to be good managers of our money. God asks us to do that. And God asks us to do a lot of things, and many times we put those on the shelf and we say, we'll get to that next time. But what I'm going to talk to you about today, there is no subject that's more important than life. And, you know, there's so much to talk about, and we're going to talk about today the CEC and what we believe in the CEC. And I know a lot of you have heard this over and over, but it's all Psalms tells us twice. Two whole Psalms are dedicated to remind the people, remind them where they came from, remind them what they're called to, remind them how God has dealt with them in the past, so that He doesn't have to continually deal with us the same way, right? Okay. So in Amos today, Amos 11, the Bible says that in those days there will be a famine in the land, and not a famine of food, plenty of food, plenty of water, but people will go to and fro to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and so many people say, making it up. Christians are under attack. Amen. I'm going to read to you something in just a minute, but we are under attack in this country. I mean, really, literally under attack. And we have no idea that it's going on. But interestingly, I just wanted to, just before I get to that, I'm sorry. This is more of an infomercial than a sermon, if you will. Because where we're going to go is, I'm going to invite everybody to join me for the March for Life on January the 27th. And I hope every single person will sign up. Because during this week, a good Christian friend of mine who does some work at my house, he comes over, and he's one of those God talkers. You know, he comes over and prays the Lord, everything's, you know, the Lord. He's always a great Christian brother, been delivered from alcoholism, and God's just done amazing things in his life. He said to me, he goes, Ed, He said, this recent Supreme Court decision to allow same-sex marriage to happen in the country, this is what he said. He said, I saw God's hand just move off our country. And this thought came to me, and I said, Todd, I got to tell you, I just don't agree with you about that. I'll tell you when God stopped when God seriously stopped looking at us is when Roe v. Wade happened. January 22nd, 1973. Listen, you can take prayer out of the schools. That doesn't hurt anybody. You can say anybody can get married. You can marry your dog, your goat, whatever. No, seriously, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not? But you can't. You cannot kill the most innocent lives in your society, the most vulnerable humans. You cannot murder them and God not remove his blessing. I heard 25 years ago when our church was forming, I heard about the CEC, and it was Brother Randy Adler at the time who was inspired to form an organization and get a bunch of Protestant preachers together because he was involved in this pro-life movement. And Randy and his friends spent a lot of time in jail because in those days, if you were protesting in front of abortion clinics and bringing to light the fact that folks in there are getting murdered, somebody's got to stand up for them. We're standing up for trees. We're standing up for owls. We're standing up for whales. Somebody's got to stand up for humans. Come on. Okay? So we're going to go early if I get enough amens. And you just like, God, get me going. And I'm like really going. And I'm trying to keep it a little light so I'm not crying through this whole thing, okay? Thank you. Thank you, Father Scott, for your confidence. So what he noticed was when he was in prison is that everybody was together singing spiritual songs, reading their Bibles. But he said what he noticed is the first people that would get out of prison, first day, second day, would be all the Protestants. And the only people that were left were all the Catholics. It could be Orthodox Catholics, Roman Catholics, just Catholics. Priests, pretty much. And they'd just all be hanging out, like, no hurry. No hurry here. Whatever you want to let us go, we're going. But we're not going to say that this was right. You can leave us in here, we'll rot. But we're not going to get bailed out of here. You're going to let us go because we did nothing wrong. And every single time they got let go because they did nothing wrong. Their protest was fine. Okay? Every time. But they stayed a long time. They'd stay weeks sometimes in prison. Now, I'm not asking you to do that with me. I'm just going to ask you to go to Washington and stand up for life. We did it last year. It wasn't a disaster. I'll tell you something. God worked great things in all of our lives, I think. In different ways. We were impacted in different ways. But I will tell you one thing, and that is that we got out there and we stood up. It was a little rough because the snow was coming in, and we got snowed in. But it was such a beautiful experience. It really was. Who could be in downtown Washington, D.C., walk in the middle of the street, and not one car be around you? And just white everywhere. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. But, so Randy was in the, so I heard him say a number of years later, he said that was kind of the thing that opened my eyes. There was something different about these people. There was just something different about them. And they just, because as the church road, as the sign down the road at the Christian church says, we're not making this gospel. He's making us. We're not changing the gospel. He's changing us. And he's changing us into his likeness. And his likeness is love. His likeness is forgiveness. His likeness isn't hate. It's not about hate. It's about forgiveness, right? Amen. It's about love. Father Scott, I'm sure, talked about that the last 3 weeks. He was saying, this is how God works in us. This is how God loves on us. This is how he works through us. And This is what Randy Adler said as bishop. Randy Adler, the founding patriarch of our communion, he said the most significant event in the history of the United States was the Roe v. Wade decision. Until that decision is overturned, God is done with us. He didn't quite say it that way. But what I'm telling you is you look around and we're running to and fro to hear the word of God. We want to hear it. You see people jumping from church to church. I just need to hear what God has to say. People are hungry. They're starving. But they don't want to listen, for the most part. They don't want to hear. They just want to hear only the good stuff and not some of the stuff that we need to stand up for. One of the things that we must stand up for as Americans is for life. We must stand up for life. We have to do it. Nobody else is called to do it. We're called. It's just me and you. And this is where we'll have to make our final stand. I'm telling you. I started out by saying that the church, that Christians are under attack. And there's this idea that people are angry in America. Right? Listen, it's not just one race, one religion. There's a lot of people that are angry in America. I'm going to tell you, listen to this. I'm going to read to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on. The light bulb came on a couple of days ago, and I've been trying to figure it out. Because I'm not really angry. I'm just like, something's just not quite right. Here it is. Types of bullying from stopbullying.gov. No, I want you to listen, because this is what teachers teach. This is what we, the people, have put into place. Okay, this is fine. Verbal bullying is saying or writing mean things. Verbal bullying includes teasing, name-calling, inappropriate sexual comments, taunting, threatening to cause harm, social bullying, sometimes referred to as relational bullying, involving hurting someone's reputation or relationships. Social bullying includes leaving someone out on purpose, telling others not to be friends with someone, I left out the word children, spreading rumors about someone, embarrassing someone in public. Got it? Know what a bully is now? All right. Our Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, Martin Castro, chairman of the commission, said in a statement that's just been released, 296-page report, the phrases, religious liberty. Anybody for religious liberty here? How about religious freedom? Anybody for religious freedom? Anybody? That's what I thought. Will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any other form of intolerance. Folks, what I'm telling you is these are bullies. These are bullies that foment this kind of talk because they're lying. They're lying to themselves. Let me ask you a question. Most of your mothers, didn't you tell your children? Didn't you tell them about bullies? Didn't you have that conversation with them? No, seriously, didn't you? Everybody has. We've all been bullied a little bit, right? You know, to some degree, probably. Something, our hair, our color, we're too fat, we're too thin, we're, you know, sometime when we're growing up, somebody's picking on us a little bit, right? That's not the same as this kind of hate language. This is what I'm upset about. I'm tired of being called a racist, intolerant, sexist, homophobic. I'm tired of that because I've never felt that way, and I suspect that neither have you. I'm not Islamophobic, okay? I'm not xenophobic. I don't even know what that is. If I could be that, because I don't know what it is. Don't even tell me what it is, because I don't want to know. Whatever. Some folk, you know what. I'm not that. I guarantee you I'm not that, and neither are you. And what happens is we're getting tired of being bullied. That's what it is. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are Christian brothers and sisters who have issues, okay? But I'm going to tell you, the Supreme Court, they can say whatever they want to say about interaction with people, but you can't kill others. You can't condone the killing. You cannot do it. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. Well, let me tell you something. These people, this is our government. This was the chairman that said this. This wasn't some, you know, Joe Schmo. This is like an important person. They're going to set up doctrine around this. So if you're a person for religious liberty, and I'm not just talking about Christians, Jews need to have, but Muslims need to have religious liberty in our country. We're allowed to do that. They need Jesus, amen. Right? But, as long as their religion isn't a religion of death, which is a different, there's a difference. Do you know what I'm saying? But the problem is everybody's getting lumped into it. And what I'm telling you is, the ones who say it, they have the problem. That's what I'm going to tell you. I said all that to say that. Because what I know and what you should know is the people that get up and scream the loudest about your intolerance, your homophobia, they're the ones with the problem. They're always the ones with the problem. It's always that way in psychology. Always. It's always that way. There's never... Listen, you all said, yeah, I want religious freedom. I'm about religious liberty. I'm telling you, our government just called us racist, homophobic, Islamophobes. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not happy about that. I'm tired of being bullied by our government. That's what it is. So I want to stand up. I want to call every single one of us to stand up and say, you got to fix this, Mr. Government. You got to fix this life issue. Until you fix this, nothing is going to change. It's just going to keep getting worse. And more people are going to go, I need to hear the word of God. Where is it? Where's the word of the Lord? Is it at this church? Is it over here? Where is it? Where is the word of the Lord? But because churches won't tell people. You got to stand up. You got to stand up for something. You got to come to church and you got to have brothers and sisters that will support you. Because we live in perilous times. We do. We have no idea just how. I'm just giving you one example. One. It was on. I pulled it off. I read the thing yesterday. I'm like, holy cow, that's it. That's it. That's what I'm sick of. No, I am. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being called a bully. I'm not the bully. I'm sick of being bullied. That's what it is. I'm sick of you being bullied. I'm tired of it. I didn't know what it was, but now I know. They're bullies. That's what they are, is bullies. We need to stop pandering to our bullies and call them bullies. That's what they call us. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard. What's the Bible tell us? In those days, they'll say the good is evil and evil is good. That's all that's going on in our society today. The people that want, that have faith-based, they're the nut jobs. They're the people with the problems. It's us. It's Christians that are the problem. It's Jews who follow their faith. They're the problem. We're the problem. How could we be the problem? You know what I'm saying? You don't have hate in your hearts. I know you don't. I know every one of you. I know that. I know it's just not a hateful group. Christianity is not based on hate at all, at any level, at any level. You with me? Our God is not, he's not just love. He is love. He is the source of love. He's not just something we think as a loving God. It's not one of his attributes. It is his attribute. It's his only attribute. Everything that comes from him is about love, the creation, the creator. What Father Scott said today. And oh, by the way, your friend who calls you his friend, he's the creator of the universe. He made the heavens and the earth. He made us. He formed us. He did. It's by every breath we take as his breath. Didn't we just sing about that? Don't you find yourself breathing in the air, taking a deep breath? It's his, God, it's your breath. Because we live on every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Right? Without him, this is gone. Everything is gone. Without his word holding it up and sustaining it. I just got to make one other little comment about what I'm commenting on. And that is that I did this week, see, and I should have printed this off. I was in the paper, and I tried to find it. I looked back for it. But there was an interesting thing. There was an old little chink on the Darwinists. And I love that because I'm not an evolutionist at all. I'm not sure when God made the earth, whether he remade it, whether it's 6,000 years old or 6 billion years old, doesn't really matter. But I know one thing, and I know one thing for sure. It's not an accident. This is not an accident. Not at all. It's not at all an accident. Anyway, the evolutionists, they just found these rocks in this stream with these amoebas or something in them, some kind of something, that parasites maybe, I don't know, that are dated like 200 million, you know, at some point when these things could not have been around. So anyway, I'm like, of course. You know, things were created in order. There's an order to our system. There's an order to life. And when we violate that order, we get out of the order that it's supposed to be in. For example, we shouldn't really be marrying our brothers, our males and our, and you know, we shouldn't be doing that. That's out of the order. It's out of order. It's not even part of the natural order. But that's in itself not as, in my humble opinion, that's one thing, but it's a completely different question to ask yourself, is God the author of life? Yes, he is. Thank you, Mary. Yes, he is. Yes. He's the author. He's the finisher. He knew you before he formed you. He tells us that. I knew you before I formed you. I formed you in your mother's womb. The most dangerous place on the planet Earth today is in a mother's womb. No, it is. There'll be more abortions this year than there will be Islamic terrorist murders. I'm pretty sure if I said that, I'm an Islamophobe now. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. I'm not. I'm really not. But I'm just saying, it's the craziest thing. They call the good people, the people that want to help, that want to participate, Christians. You don't just have to be a white Christian. You can be a black Christian. You can be a Muslim Christian. You can be whatever kind of Christian you are. You're one of those people. You're one of those people. That's what they're telling us. So here's what we're going to do. I was going to have some people stand up and give some testimonies, and if somebody just got to do it, I'd love for you to. We had a tremendous time last year, and there's so much I want to say, but let me just wrap it up. I know we got to go get our free cheeseburgers. It's cheeseburger day. Meryl, she just guys cuts through it. We got to get out of here because we got to get our cheeseburgers, Father Ed. Let's go. We have some tremendous opportunities coming up, and I want to tell you just a real quick story. My time is just about up. So 40 Days for Life, it starts 40 Days for Life. This is an event here in town where we can start getting our motors revved up for the big march. So it's 40 Days for Life starts here in Jacksonville on September the 28th. On the 27th, it's going to be all concentrated over right down here where we've been before on a number of occasions, the Women's Choice Center, a Women's Choice Center, right here on University Boulevard South. So you have to park across the street, and then the protests will happen along the sidewalk. And it'll be going on from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. There'll be a vigil every day for those 40 days, from September the 28th through November 6th. Then, and this is why you need to be good stewards. That's why that scripture was there today, for you to hear that, for me to hear that, and us to make our plans right now, today, to be a part of something bigger than yourself, to be a part of a national movement to stop the tyranny of abortion, the Holocaust of abortion, and make it illegal in this country. You know, you think about what I just said, and you know, we live in a day and a time where really there should be virtually no abortions, none. I mean, there could be some exceptions, okay? There shouldn't be, but let's just say there were. Even in those cases, it would be just 0.1% of one, it would be nothing. But there's all kinds of ways to not be pregnant today. Can we just be honest? Can we talk just for a minute? There should nobody that doesn't want to be pregnant should be pregnant. It's just so easy in our country right now. You know, we've got the tools. But yet, I don't know why people do that, how they get them. I don't know. I don't know how this just keeps happening and perpetuating itself, and then we just condone it. You know, we don't, right? We don't. But that's, you know, God looks at us, but he also looks at countries. He looks at nations. He does. He looked at the children of Israel. I know it's, that'll open your eyes, brothers and sisters. God does consider nations. And he's blessed this nation. He has blessed, I mean, can you imagine the resources that we have in this country? More resources than anybody else in the world. God has blessed America. No question about it. And he's given us the ability to be stewards of our land, our resources, and of our people. And I got to tell you, I don't think God's happy right now with the people of America. And I think what changed everything wasn't the war in Vietnam. Wasn't it we found out presidents lie to us? No, well, we found that out with Richard Nixon, right? Now we know they lie to us, all of them. Even the Republicans. Okay? I'm telling you. They all of them do. But the one thing that we can stand on and know for sure is that, you know, God is calling us, is his nation of Christians, to cry out, to stand in the gap, to turn just one heart to him in love. Not because we hate people, not because we want to crush them down and make them xenophobes or whatever. We want them to be free. We want them to live free. Jesus came to this earth to set us free, not put us in bondage. Folks, that kind of speech is bondage. Now, I know that, you know, this is serious. I can't be more serious with you about anything than what's going on in our country. It requires key man work. This is heavy lifting, folks. And people have been on the front line of this now for almost 45 years. In 1973, so what? Where are we? 43, 44 years into this? 42 years into the battle? 42 years into the battle. We're 8 years away from 50 years. And there are some great things to tell you, and I think Canon Terry, when he was here, told you that, and I've been with them. I've happened to be in Birmingham, Alabama on September, right in this 40 Days for Life, and I've stood with Canon Terry and 150 other Christians who've stood in front of an abortion clinic that we prayed and marched and prayed and marched for years and years and years and years. They did years and years. They finally closed it and tore it down. They finally did. It's gone. Not even there. They had to go to another one. And just the abortions in Birmingham dropped significantly. But it's even more important to me and to Canon Terry and to our church that we change hearts. The hearts are changed. Not just that we tear buildings down. You know what I'm saying? Heck, we could have taken that in the old days, 1,000 years ago, they had taken that abortion clinic. They'd have walked around it, put some holy water on it, cast every demon out of it, and turned it into a church and called it holy. No, they would. You think about that. That's how powerful our God is. He can take hate, turn it into love. Just like that. But it takes people. It takes feet. It takes voices. It takes hands. It takes the Spirit of God working in all of us. Our hands, our feet, our eyes, our voices, our mouth, our breath, to keep doing the battle. I would have told you 5 years ago we were just losing. We were losing. But the last few years I've seen there's just been young people, kids, Sarah's age, Amanda's age, people are they're at least asking good questions about life. They're asking really good questions. There's hope. I'm telling you, there's hope. We can turn this thing, we can turn the tide and get this thing turned, overturned, and get life back in our lives. That would be so wonderful. The last thing I want to say is, and we'll close with this, and then I'm going to invite you to sign up. You don't have to come and pray about this, folks. I'm telling you, you don't need to pray. Lord, do I need to go? I'm telling you, the Lord says you need to go. No, I'm telling you. Right? I'm telling you. You don't need to pray, Lord, should I go and stand in Washington with 250,000 other Christians and stand up for life? Lord, should I do that? The answer is yes. Be a good steward. Save a little money. Let's go to Washington and let's stand for life. Okay? Let's do it. All right. We'll do that in a minute. Because I'm telling you, the Deuteronomy says this. See, this is exactly what it says. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I set before you life, death, blessings, and curses. What do you need to do? Choose life. Just choose life. Every day the Lord sets before us life. Every day we get up. Every day he gives us breath. He says, well, today, this morning, I set before you life and death. I set before you doubt, curses, death, destruction, despair. Or I set before you life, freedom, hope, prosperity, generosity, love, forgiveness. Choose life. Please, choose life. Choose it for the most vulnerable people in our society. Choose it for them. They can't choose. They have no choice. You had no choice. But your mother loved you, and she had you. And I would say that most of us in here, your mother had a choice, a legal choice. So I'm telling you, your mother loved you. And I need to ask her, I'm telling you. And you know your mother loves you, right? So, choose life, okay? Last thing, well, no, that is it. No, that's it. Now, if I'm going to put this with Drew's sign-up sheet for, this is a pre-sign-up sheet, okay? This is a pre-sign-up sheet. This is I forgot to put, the dates are January the 26th through the 28th, Thursday through Saturday. The march is on Friday the 28th this year. It's always been on the 22nd, always, because that's the Roe v. Wade decision. But I think this year there's an inauguration going on. Right, right. Yeah, well, let's be glad that we'll hopefully have a president and or whatever, and we'll have one, a new one, whoever that is. And but we're going to go make a statement, okay? We're going to say it's time to stand up for life, Mr. President, Miss President, whoever it is, okay? So, Lord, let me just pray. Father, Lord, you know the cries of our heart. You hear us, Lord. And, Lord, we're a church that stands for life. Not sometime, Lord, but every day. Lord, help each one of us. Help each one of us, Lord, to every morning wake up and choose life. Choose hope over doubt. Choose love over fear. Lord, help each one of us choose life. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to go as a church, as a communion, and stand for life. Stand for the most vulnerable in our society. Lord, I know this probably infuriates you to even have to talk about this. But Lord, forgive us for where we failed you, please. Because we haven't done too good. Then Lord, I pray that you'd create resources and send money. Send vision, send faith to our hearts. We can accomplish this tremendous goal that you've given us to stand for life. Pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.